Welcome to our study in John chapter 7. Today we continue with verse 39 where John wrote explaining the meaning of Jesus' words which he gave at the last day of the feast. Jesus had said this, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." And here's John's explanation of that statement. Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. We explained that it took the glorification of Jesus, that is, his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, as well as his ascension into heaven, which is his glorification, before the Holy Spirit could be sent from heaven and fulfill the promise of Jesus Christ to the apostles. That happened. It happened at Pentecost. And ever since that time, the world has been different because there have been people on this earth in whom God is living. Now, you can't see God in them. You can't see a spirit. But that's a promise of Jesus Christ. And if you have believed in Jesus Christ to save you, and I emphasize to save you rather than believe in Jesus Christ as a historic figure, or even believe in Jesus Christ that he died, that's not what the Bible asks. You must believe in him to save you. That's trusting in Christ and trusting in his work for you. Well, if you have done that, you have the Spirit of God living in you. And that Spirit is there to bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. He is a divine witness that you are an heir of God and belong to God. Now that is wonderful. There are people who are not sure that they have eternal life and that they would go to heaven if they die. Well, this is the cure for that kind of a problem. You don't have the Spirit if you are not sure. It's the Spirit, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, who is supposed to bear the witness with God's child that he does belong to the Father. Now, this is indeed a wonderful testimony. I was not taught this when I first became a Christian. Somehow I had the assurance that my sins were forgiven because I was trusting in the Word of God. God had promised that if I believed in His Son, Jesus Christ, He would forgive all of my sins. On the basis of what? On the basis of my trust in Christ alone. But no one taught me about this presence of the Spirit, the indwelling Spirit. And I became confused along the way until I studied this thoroughly myself. I want you, if you are a believer, to believe what God's Word says. Jesus promised that whoever believed in Him would receive this Spirit. Now, what all this means is that before Jesus Christ was crucified, no one had the Spirit living in them as an indwelling presence. Oh, the Spirit was with them. The Spirit was with Saul. But the Spirit also left Saul. The Spirit was with Samson, and the Spirit also left Samson. The Spirit has always been active in the world, but one of the precious treasures of the Christian is the promise that Jesus Christ gave that the Spirit would be sent to live in us. Now, what I have said does not mean that the Spirit was inactive in the Old Testament, for he clearly was. The promise of Jesus here concerns the Spirit's habitation. God's presence in the Old Testament was in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. You can read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Then, after Solomon constructed the temple, God's presence so filled the temple that the priests could not enter. And you'll read about that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 11. And Solomon declared that he had built a magnificent temple for God to dwell in. For anyone who understands that and respects the words of Jesus, that person will not try to build a monument for Jesus out of brick and stone. Now, that's not to say that we don't need buildings to meet in. You don't have to have one, but if you want to keep the rain off of you, you had better. And if you want some comfort, you had better put up a building. But to build an edifice and say, this is for the glory of God, well, that's nonsense. Buildings are not for the glory of God. Your body is for the glory of God. Prove to people that God lives in you. Let God control you and change you and lead you. He is the one who promised to put His Spirit in us. It's not our decision. And He is the one who decided that every believer in Christ would receive His Spirit. So, when you walk around this city today, remember, God is in you. His Spirit indwells you. Does He indwell every Christian, even the bad ones, even the disobedient ones? Well, Paul answered that question in Romans 8:9. He wrote this, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Here's another passage, perhaps even more convincing, where Paul uses a double reference to the Spirit living in us. He writes in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit which dwells where? In you. Are you going to be raised from the dead if you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, because the Spirit lives in you. And just as He raised Jesus from the dead, you can also go to the grave happy with this thought. Just as Jesus was raised after He was dead and buried, so you will be raised after your death and burial. Why? Because He lives in us. Now, a question. What condition did John give for receiving the Spirit in verse 39 of chapter 7? Only one condition, that you believe. The Gospel of John is the Gospel of belief. You've been hearing that throughout these teaching sessions. People have prayed to receive the Spirit. Other people teach you that you have to tarry to get the Spirit. And they have services where people sit around and wait and pray and perhaps agonize, hoping the Spirit will come. But you don't find that here in the Bible. God wants us to believe in His Son and to believe what Christ said concerning the Spirit, that if you believe in Him, you will receive the Spirit. Now, if you have not understood this, and you have believed in Christ, it's time you started believing that you do have the Holy Spirit living in you. He is dwelling within you, and you are His dwelling place. If you don't believe it, then you are doubting God. Now let's move on to verse 40 through 44 of chapter 7 of the Gospel of John. When they heard these words, some of the people said, this is really the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is not the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that the Christ is descended from David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. This paragraph of Scripture informs us of the response to Jesus' teaching about the Spirit. And again, there are divided opinions. Some say He's the prophet. This probably is a reference to Deuteronomy 18, where Moses said that God would give another prophet, a new prophet, and others said He's the Christ. That tells us that people knew about a promised Christ or Messiah, and they seem to have been living in expectation of that Christ. In chapter 1 of this Gospel, verse 41, we read about Andrew saying to his brother Peter, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. So there were Jews who were looking for the coming of the Messiah, and the word Messiah is Hebrew for the word Christ, which is Greek. Now, there is a third group here, and they didn't seem to give any respect to Jesus, and they argued for a Messiah who had to be born in Bethlehem. Isn't it strange that they did not go to Jesus and ask him where he was born? Now, I raise that point because we saw in John chapter 1 how the priests and the Levites were sent by the Jewish leaders to John the Baptist, and they didn't mind asking questions. They said, "Who are you?" And John the Baptist confessed and did not deny, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you?" Why didn't they come to Jesus and ask questions like that? It's strange that people didn't do that. If you want some truth, go to the source of truth. I think the failure to ask Jesus, "Are you really the Christ?" and "Where were you born?" reveals a hardness of heart and a resentment toward Jesus Christ. If they had asked those questions, the result would have been getting the truth. Now, they were correct about one thing. They were correct about Bethlehem. I think most of us are familiar with Micah 5:2, that Bethlehem is indeed the city of the Messiah. Micah wrote in about 700 B.C., "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old." The king, the Messiah king, would come from Bethlehem, the prophet said. That was David's city. So these people who are not believing Jesus were right about that. And then the Bible tells us that some of the people wanted to arrest him, but nothing happened. They didn't lay hands on him. Why not? Because he was in God's control. His destiny was God's decision, and the time for his death had not yet come. This tells us something else about the Bible. It tells us that God has a program and he has plans, and nothing is going to happen apart from those plans. God is in charge. No one could have assassinated Jesus until the time that God had set. And for that reason, we find throughout the Gospel of John that his hour had not yet come. God had an hour when his son would die. God, from the beginning of time, had planned it all. He knew the hill where he would be crucified. Thank God we have someone who is in charge, and we need not fear. The Radio Bible Course has a gift for you. It's our 30-page booklet called Grace, one of the great words of the Bible. It explains what the Bible means by grace, and it's yours, free for the asking. Write today for your copy. Till tomorrow, this is Nick Kalavoda reminding you to rejoice in the good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.